Hello, Treaders, and welcome back to another episode of Tread Lightly. I am your co-host and running coach, Amanda Brooks of Run to the Finish.
And I'm your co-host and running coach, Laura of Laura Norris Running. As always, thank you for joining us. And if you have not already, please rate, review, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen. It helps out the podcast so much. And before we get to today's topic on sub-2-hour marathons, we have a listener question. This is from @eskim8. They wrote, "Hello, I've been following both of you and love your podcast. I'm using Amanda's low heart rate training plan, but I'm still needing to run walk to keep my heart rate below my max. Wondering if I should keep following the plan until I no longer needing to run walk. If I do it long enough, should I be getting to the point where I can run below my max heart rate without having to walk? Thank you."
This is a super common question. So I think there's kind of two things to it. One is, what's your goal? Like, do you feel like, I really, really just want to be able to run without needing walk breaks, and that is like your big goal? Or is your big goal, I know you mentioned in some of what we cut out, you were going from the 5K to the half plan, so endurance is your goal. Doing run walk for the entirety of your running career can be 100% fine and the best way to do easy days to keep your body feeling that easy days are truly easy. So there's no pressure to get away from run walk unless you just have a personal goal that I'd really like to be able to run this 5K straight through, that kind of thing. So the longer you are doing these easy workouts and giving your aerobic system time to adapt, I know you're coming back from an injury, there is a point of it takes time. It just takes time to build that aerobic system. So yes, you should consistently see that you're able to keep your heart rate down longer for longer running durations. As you get more time at this, as you do the strength training, as you get to the point where you're ready to add in some speed work. So it is a process, but I think don't feel like you have to ditch run walk either. It is just such a great tool, particularly if your bigger goal is that right now you're focusing on endurance.
I love that answer. Like, people tend to frame run walk as just a beginner tool, but I coach many experienced runners who use run walk because some people just thrive on it. So if that's you, embrace it. My other thought for this person, if they're saying they can't keep it below max, I'm wondering if they're measuring it with a chest strap or if they're trying to use their watch and their watch is syncing up on their cadence.
Yes, I did an Ask a Run Coach recently on Instagram, and I feel like there were so many about heart rate. And that was the very first thing I asked almost every time was, are you using your watch? And most people's answer was yes. And I was like, do you feel like your chest is, like, your heart is beating out of your chest? And they were, no. And I was like, probably not accurate. If it's 180, you feel that, like, you know, your heart is beating really hard, folks. So if you hate the chest strap, I concur. I will say the armband monitors I have found to be accurate, and I know Laura likes it as well. So I'm using an armband now on days where, especially when it's cold and I know my watch is maybe a little off.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the armband. Like, I've been using my watch a bit more because it's not my main training metric and my Garmin is more accurate on it than my Coros used to be. But if I want accurate data, I go for the armband and I calibrated it against my chest strap and it's pretty reliably accurate.
All right. So we're going to talk today about the sub-2-hour half marathon. I know this is a big goal. It was certainly one for me. I remember way back being like, that was the goal, and just one that I really wanted to chase at the time. So as a reminder, because we so rarely say this, obviously we're both running coaches, which means we both coach folks one-on-one. And we have a team of people to do that as well. So if you're looking for a coach because the generic information isn't getting there, you can reach out to either of us. So obviously Laura at Laura Norris Running or Amanda at Run to the Finish. And we can get you details on what one-on-one looks like if the, you know, general information just isn't getting you to whatever your running goal is.
And I think that's a really important caveat for this episode is this is general information. So we're drawing on our experiences from working with individual athletes who ran sub two. There are individual differences, so this might not be 100% directly applicable to you. And again, that's why one-on-one coaching can be really helpful.
So if someone is looking to set their goal for sub two, do you have some metrics that kind of say, hey, you're in the ballpark where we can start making this a goal?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So these numbers I'm going to put forth are approximations. It doesn't mean that always it's a yes, 100% yes, 100% no. But roughly for a 5K, an equivalent performance is 26 minutes or faster. So if you're able to run a 5K and it's in the 25 and change, that's a really good sign. For a 10K, that's 54 minutes or faster. So again, 53, 52 minutes in a recent 10K is a great sign that you have some of the fitness there to transfer into a sub two half marathon. For a marathon, you know, there's, I feel like a big gap sometimes between half marathon time and equivalent marathon time for people, depending on how much training volume they can put in, et cetera. But roughly 4:07 or faster is equivalent. Now, there's always exceptions. Like I've had some athletes come to me and they have pretty young training ages and they haven't hit any of these times and they respond super well to training because they have a young training age and they hit the goals. The more experienced you are, the more it takes to move the needle and the more you want to be closer to these equivalent race times.
And I think that last point is really important. So say you've been running half marathons and maybe your most recent one was a 2:30. If that was like your first or maybe your second ever, there's a good chance you could take a decent chunk of time off your next half marathon. That's just something that happens when we're in the beginning phases of running. Like the body is adapting. We're learning so much. Like we're mentally realizing how to push ourselves and things like that. So if you're very early on, I still would hesitate to tell you to train for a 2 from a 2:30, but I have seen it happen, particularly folks who just have a little bit of the genetics of being athletic and then are brand new to it. They see bigger jumps in their time. But if you've been doing a number of half marathons and you're wanting sub 2 to be your goal, most of the time, I'd really like to have seen you at minimum be around 2:10. And even that, a 10-minute drop is a pretty significant jump. But a lot of the training for sub 2, you could still do. You just may not quite get there on the first race that you do it.
And I think that final thing you said is also really important for framing this conversation is sometimes big goals take time. And it can help to put them either on a longer timeline or just know that this is your goal and maybe it will take one training cycle to get there or maybe it will take a few years and we can't always rush adaptation.
It's interesting too. I know it took a couple times when I sort of set this as my goal, but then once I did it, it was almost like something mentally changes because then it was just after that, it was so easy to run a sub two. And granted, you have now put in years of work. And so your body has also adapted, but there is a little mental hurdle we have to get over too. And once you've done something, you just kind of know it's possible going forward. And that makes a big difference.
It does. It makes such a huge difference. And that's another reason I'm a fan of sometimes these equivalent races is because like, if you're like, okay, I can run a 10K, that's equivalent. It builds your confidence, and that's really important. Now, do you want to talk some about a question everyone loves to ask is what are some training paces that they should be doing if their fitness indicates a sub two half marathon?
Yeah. So obviously one of the big things is when we're kind of practicing goal pace work, that's roughly a 9:05 mile, but the thing that most of us forget is that while we're training for 13.1, courses are long intentionally. So for them to be certified, they almost always are actually over the distance so that they can ensure that the course is not short and then your times are not validated if you are, you know, using that time for folks use their half marathon time to get into the New York City Marathon even. So you actually want to think about, if you're plugging numbers into a calculator, maybe put in 13.2 to get like, what should my mile pace be? Because, or 13.3, sorry. So you want that extra like 0.2. So you're probably wanting your half marathon goal pace workouts to be more like a 9-minute mile. And this is where we kind of go back to that other thing of what's your current race pace. Because if you thought you were only going from like a 9:15 to a 9:05, but realistically we're now saying you need to go from a 9:15 to a 9-minute mile, 15 seconds per mile over 13 miles is harder than it sounds. So I think just helping to kind of keep that a little bit realistic is probably the first pace to think about. And then remembering, as we'll talk about training, you're not trying to hit that pace on day one. We're working on that pace over the course of the entire training cycle.
Yes. One thing I emphasize with my athletes is that workouts are intended to improve your fitness. They're not meant to prove your fitness. So don't go into your workouts being like, each single run is proof that I can run a sub-2 half marathon. Instead, frame it as, these are workouts building my fitness up to that goal on race day, or to as close to that goal as I can get.
100%. So what about some of the other runs that we're looking at on training?
Yeah, so with easy runs, this one has a wide range because some people need to go slower on their easy days to keep low heart rate. But ideally, you want to go no faster than 10-30 minutes per mile. Go as slow as you need. So I work with several people who are 157, 158 half marathoners, and their easy runs are 10:50, 11:30, etc. But we really want to put that hard speed limit in place, because running your easy runs too hard is a really quick way to have nothing in your tank on race day and miss that goal, no matter how well workouts go. If you listen to our last episode, we talked about different types of running workouts. So that is a good reference point for explaining these. Threshold workouts will be slightly faster than half marathon goal pace, so around an 8:45 to 8:50. Critical velocity workouts will be around 8:25 to 8:30, or kind of in the ballpark of your 8K, 10K pace. And then interval runs can be around an 8-minute mile. If that feels too spicy in the peak of training, maybe back off closer to like 8:15 or around your 5K pace. And that's all ballpark. Like, some people are better at speed, some people are better at distance. You might find that those are slightly different for you, but that's just a really good way to start thinking about your training and your fitness.
And one of the things you mentioned there, running easy runs too hard, I think really leads to a common question of, why am I struggling to hit this goal? Like, I've tried multiple times and I just can't quite seem to break that barrier. So easy days being run too hard is one of the most common things. And I think some of that is, you're probably running a little more mileage than maybe you were before. Maybe you've added another day of running, and so you just aren't entirely taking into consideration the impact that's having on your recovery and how your body feels. And there's also a lot of ego happening for a lot of us. So kind of letting go of that and not thinking like, oh, I'm so slow because your easy days are a certain pace. I'm not training you to worry about your easy pace. Like, I'm training you for race day. So when you can kind of make that mental switch, then it's a lot easier to just let go of what easy day looks like. I think the other one I definitely see is maybe not enough variety in our speed workouts. So we start thinking, okay, I know I need to hit a 9-minute pace. And so we practice that, but don't practice actually running much faster, like those intervals at an 8-minute pace. But doing those intervals at that 8-minute pace makes 9 minutes feel way more comfy.
It does. And I think a really good way to think about like when to start bringing in those pace workouts, you do want to do them early. But there's this concept called nonlinear periodization or funnel periodization. It's thinking about like most of training is building your fitness. So it's that variety of workouts you talked about. And then it's like the final 4 to 8 weeks before a race, 4 to 6 weeks, maybe even more so, where you're really trying to hone in on that pace and you're still doing different workouts. But if if all your workouts over a 12 to 16 week cycle are only at a 9-minute pace, you might actually get slower as a result.
Yeah. Another one that's really big, fueling. We've done so many episodes on this, but I think it's really, really easy at the half marathon distance to convince yourself that it's not that long and 2 hours isn't that much over the 90-minute thing that people talk about. And so to sort of shortchange the amount of carbs you're taking in during the race, super, super easy. But it's a big one. Once you kind of realize, oh, if I can keep those carbs topped up, then that quick available energy that I need to run at this pace that for me is just slightly faster than what I've done is going to make a big difference. So start practicing that fueling during all of your long runs. Practice it some during some of those hard workouts. Like, just get yourself comfortable that this is a piece of hitting the goal just as much as all the miles.
It really is. I have several athletes who, with their sub two, they took a gel every like 3 miles. Maybe not a gel in that final, like at mile 12, because your workload is so high that it's difficult to get done. But maybe they took their gels at like miles 3, 6, 9 or 3, 6, 8, 10 to make sure they had all that substrate on board. And some of them also carb loaded for it, which we don't talk about traditionally with the half, but when it's right around 2 hours, carb loading, at least for a day, can help you have extra carbs on board.
Yep, agree. And then the final one that we have also mentioned in numerous episodes is just skipping the strength workout. So it's really easy when you've set this running goal to hit a certain pace to just kind of focus on the running and adding more miles. But getting in even that little bit of strength where you are building muscle power is going to help. So if that means to get in 2 20-minute strength sessions a week that have lower body in them, you need to run, you know, 2 or 3 less miles over the course of the total week, I'm often okay with that. We just see the benefits of it.
The next most common question we receive on running a sub 2 half marathon is, how many miles per week should I run / how many days per week should I run, especially trying to fit in that strength work?
Yeah, which I always think this is an interesting one. For me, I'm really just focused on like what the overall quality of the training looks like. So I don't have a, oh, if you're hitting 30 miles a week, we're much more likely to hit the goal kind of thing. Some of it, like you mentioned earlier, there are some folks who just tend to do better with a little more volume and less speed, and some folks who do well with a little more speed and less total volume. So you may do great on 4 runs a week where you've got a really good speed day in there. I'm always someone who, if I add too much speed to my week, I just don't recover that well. So I actually do better with a little more volume, which then makes my total amount of speed work less. So I think you have to know your body a little bit. That's how I kind of lean on it. What do you think?
I agree with that a lot. And I think that can be frustrating to some people to understand that chasing down a time goal requires some trial and error in your training. And even if you're working with a coach, there might be a period of experimentation and observation of response. And just to give a good example of it, I have some athletes who run like sub 130 half marathons who run 4 days per week. And I have some people who run 2-hour half marathons who run 5 to 6 days per week. It is very individual. And what I usually recommend is us trying to get the most we can out of the least amount of training that you need to do, because we want you to recover. We want you to reach race day not feeling super burnt out psychologically from too much training. So it's always finding that balance of like, sure, maybe you could run 6 days a week, but would you really recover from that? Would you really absorb your training? Maybe it's better that you run 5 and you have a little bit of extra recovery built in.
Yeah, totally, totally agree. The other one I often get asked about is how long the long run should be. And again, everyone, you're going to hate me, but the answer varies. So a lot of times when I have folks who are going for that 130, 145, and they're very experienced runners, then I am looking at kind of the 14 to 15 mile long run. when you're going for the 2 hour, for me, it just kind of depends on your experience level. If you're newer, I absolutely don't want you to run that far because you're just not ready to recover. But if you've been doing some marathons, like you said, and they were 4:10, but now you're coming down to half marathon training, you may still feel pretty good doing a 14 to 15 mile run. And then what a boost to know you can run a little farther. But if you're newer, I mean, generally 11 miles is truly like a really great max long run.
It is. It is. And sometimes for athletes, it comes down not just to fitness, but the psychological thing. And so sometimes if an athlete is like, I feel more confident about it covering 13.1 or maybe even 14 miles in training, that's taken into consideration. But like Amanda said, you have to be able to recover from these long runs. If you do 15 miles a few weeks out and it leaves you absolutely toasted and it left your race in your training, then obviously it's not going to help you run a sub 2 half marathon.
Yeah. Definitely take a listen to our episode where we talk about recovery, because it's more than coming home and like putting your legs up a wall. It's kind of what you're doing all week long. So it does matter.
So then we talk kind of, you know, how many miles per week, what types of workout paces. The next common question is, how many weeks should I spend training for this? Because I feel like I see on the half marathon, either people be like, oh, well, it's just a half. I've done marathons. Give me 6 weeks. Or on the flip side, they're like, let me spend an entire year focused on this goal. So how would you guide athletes on that?
Yeah, I think one of the things to sort of consider is, we've talked about this, have a training cycle. So instead of just sort of like, okay, I know in 6 months there's this race, I have this goal, and that's the only thing you think about for 6 months, you will probably be burned out on race day. But if we have cycles in there, then you're able to kind of fine tune things. And what am I working on right now? So the majority of plans are 12 to 16 weeks. Experienced runners who have just run some other races can probably get away with 8 weeks. But most of the time, my guess is if you're setting this goal for a sub 2 half, you're probably in a place where 12 to 16 weeks is what I'm going to guess is probably about right.
I agree a lot with that. I think anything longer than 16 weeks has the risks that you talked about, overtraining or even just loss of motivation. 16 weeks is a long time. And so sometimes if I have an athlete who wants to run a sub 2 half and it's a year out, we'll sometimes first do like a try to do a fast 10K and see how fast we can get their 10K time down, because that will directly correspond. And it gives them some sort of slightly different training and something shorter term to focus on, rather than just spending 6 months training for one race. Oh, that's a long time.
It is a long time. I think, yeah, for newer runners, remembering that like you've got that base building period, which is a little different than getting into the specific training cycle. So in the base building period, you're not really trying to run goal pace. You're doing different sort of workouts than when you're getting into the training cycle. So being able to just know there's different phases, I think, helps. We mentioned this earlier, but just to give some like more concrete guidance, what do you kind of tell folks for how to fuel for a 2 hour half?
Yeah, I'm going to start with in the race and then work backwards. So the fueling recommendations for a roughly 2 hour race are about 30 to 60 grams of carbs per hour. And yes, it's going to help. I know you'll probably say, oh, I can run it without, I don't need that, but why handicap yourself on race day? And also don't care about what other people are doing. Like, who cares if the person on Reddit said they did it without fuel? Nice for some, doesn't mean it works for you. So 30 to 60 grams of carbs per hour shakes out to roughly a gel about every 25 to 35 minutes. Like I said earlier, a lot of athletes find it psychologically easy to make it like every 3 miles, which is just shy of every 30 minutes in a sub 2 half, because you'll see the mile markers. It's easy to count by threes. You aren't having to do too much math in the race. You definitely want those front loaded. So make sure you stay on top of them at miles 3, 6, 9, because it is really hard to take in fuel at the end of a half marathon. If you can, it will help, but it's hard. Going backwards from that within the race fueling, so it's about like 3 to 4 gels in the race, you want to sometimes top off after your pre-race breakfast. So we've talked about race day week nutrition in a separate podcast, but I've seen a lot of athletes have success taking a gel 15 minutes before they start their half marathon. Any extra nerves from the race can burn off extra carbs. So it just gives you a little bit extra topping off your take. And then of course, before that, eat breakfast before. This is not the time to fast with training, even if your appetite is not present because of nerves.
Yeah, the start line fuel, I think, has become one of my favorite things in the last few years. There's the topping off, but there's also just like literally the taste buds in your mouth are talking to your brain and saying, hey, fuel is coming in. And so like your brain is sort of awake and like, oh, okay, I've got some extra energy right at this moment. It might be a place to use caffeine for some folks. It works for me because I'm not having coffee or any of that other stuff. So I really am just a huge fan of this now. In fact, a lot of times even I'll just use jelly beans because I like them and they make me happy. So anything you can kind of do at the start line, I feel like that's just, I don't know. It's one that for me, I'm a huge fan of now.
I've never seen it backfire on an athlete. Like I've never had an athlete be like, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. They'll be like, wow, I'm so glad you told me to do that. It helped so much.
So we're getting into kind of a couple of the final things here. One of those being pacing. And I know, again, we've talked about this before, but just to be a little more concrete again, when we're talking specifically about the sub-2 half marathon, what's your kind of race day plan for most folks?
Yeah, so it begins with warming up before, and a lot of people might not initially think about warming up for a half marathon because it's a decent distance, but if you want to be hitting that 9-minute, maybe 9:10 pace in the first mile, you need to be warmed up. So that's just 5 to 10 minutes of very light jogging. You could do some strides if those feel good for you. They're not necessary at this distance. And then generally, I recommend roughly even pacing. Like usually I'll tell people to start a little controlled in the first mile just because you're still warming up, but that's probably only 10 to 15 seconds per mile slower. And then after that, your effort will increase as the race goes, but you want to try to stay as even as possible. It is very difficult to negative split a half marathon because you have a lot of muscular fatigue going on at the end.
Yeah, I think what's really important is it's easy to play games with yourself where you either start fast and tell yourself, oh, I'm banking time for later in the race. That's not how your body works. Your body instead will be like, you went harder than I am accustomed to, and now I am more fatigued, and I'm super fatigued because we've been doing this for a long time, and it will slow you down. Or you let yourself go a little bit easier, saying, I will make up time later in the race. And again, you're fatigued, so making up time is not as easy as it sounds. So that's one of the reasons we talk about consistently sort of trying to find that goal pace and see if you can't just sort of settle into it a little bit. Now, different courses obviously may have some adjustments. So if it's super hilly or if you are running one of the ones that's a net downhill, it's very easy to let yourself get out of control early in the race. And you will be surprised that even in a downhill race, that is going to take it out of you later. So try, like she said, that first mile. Know that it's okay if it's a little bit slow. You're getting around people. Don't do a crazy amount of weaving. Like, don't amp yourself up with the nerves and everything because you're stuck behind people. Get through mile one and then try to kind of get into your rhythm and your pace.
And what would you recommend to an athlete when they hit those really tough miles of the race? What are some kind of tips you can give for working through fatigue or the urge to slow down?
So I think one of them is to immediately check in on when was the last time I fueled and see if you're on top of that. Unfortunately, if you're feeling a little low, it's going to take a little bit for that fuel to kick in, but at least get it in. And then really and truly having practiced some kind of mantra ahead of time or something you're going to think about. So whether that means you are dedicating each mile of the race to someone, that can work really well when you're having that low moment, but you're like, man, but I dedicated this to my aunt who did this and this and this and this for me, and that can push you through. That works really well. Or having that mantra, you know, stronger and stronger with every mile, or, you know, reminding yourself like, I love to run. I love to run. Like sometimes you just have to kind of break the pattern of the negative thinking you're having by bringing in something else. So those are a couple of things that you can definitely try. What else do you kind of have folks do?
Yeah, I think the nice thing about a sub-2-hour goal is usually there's a lot of runners in the race trying to hit the same thing. So what I'll recommend to people is, you know, when you start to feel fatigued, when it's taking a lot of cognitive effort in those final few miles, just try to pace off of someone near you who you can tell is running the same pace. If you're competitive, it helps you kind of tap into that competitive edge. But even if you're not competitive, you're almost like offloading part of the task, and it's no longer stay on pace. It's just visually stay with this person. And that can help. The other thing I recommend is take like 15 seconds or so to like quicken your stride and check your form. Because when we fatigue in a half marathon, there is a heavy muscular component, like I said, and you'll sometimes see runners start to slouch forward or their stride slows down and they aren't having that cadence to support their pace. And just a quick form check and straightening yourself back up, quickening back up your cadence can really help you.
I will say a lot of people are not used to running an even pace consistently mile after mile after mile either. I noticed this with my husband when he runs with me on race day. He's like, it's actually very hard for me because you're so consistent. He was like, and if I look at my training, my miles are not that. They vary wildly, like just on easy days and whatever. So I think the idea even there of kind of changing your rhythm for a little bit could help if you realize you're someone who doesn't usually consistently. I have a very metronome pace. I don't know why or how, but like I just do. So it doesn't bother me. But if you sort of look at your training and realize like, oh, I go from a 10:30 to a 10:50 to a 10:30 to an 11, like, and those your easy days just kind of are up and down like that. That may mean finding an even pace on race day feels a little tougher. So just having those moments where you allow your legs to shift a little could get you back in rhythm and just make it feel a little easier.
That's really great advice. As we wrap up this episode, is there anything additional you would leave to our listeners who are chasing down a sub-2-hour marathon, half marathon?
Yeah, I think just kind of the final thing is remember, like, this is a fun goal. It doesn't say anything about you, like, if you do or don't hit it. Sometimes we put so much pressure on it that that is the thing that actually keeps us from hitting it. So when you're having more fun in training, having more fun on race day, your performance tends to be a lot better.
That I think is so important. Like I was just talking to an athlete who was preparing for Boston, and her whole framing of the race is she was like, what a privilege it is to get to do this. And really what a privilege it is to do Boston, to do a 2-hour half marathon, all that stuff. Like it doesn't really matter if you hit it or not. It matters to you and it matters to your coach, but like it doesn't really matter. And that's actually a good thing.
100%. All right, runners, thank you as always for joining us. As we always say, you can find us on Instagram at @treadlightlyrunning. That is a great place to drop us messages or let us know if you have questions for a future episode.